Dr. Sadlick, would you like me to take roll?
Yeah, let's do that, and then we can just roll right into it.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Dr. Sadlick, it seems that we're waiting on Ms. Gallen. Ms. Tibbetts, you're with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, so we got one more. We'll wait for Eva then. You want to give her another 2 minutes or so, Gail, and we can roll?
That's fine with me, yes. Ms. What's her name?
This is Justin Larson with the AG's office. I just want to check, is Monique Cody on the line?
Yes, I am. And
Okay.
I am for independent advisor for the two formal hearings when we get to those matters.
Okay.
We've got four, Gail, so let's roll then.
Okay.
Ms. Cody, hi. Bruce Sadler.
Good
Let's go
afternoon.
ahead then. We'll begin. Today is Thursday, April 14, 2020, at 12 p.m. here at the Naturopathic Medical Board meeting. And I'm Dr. Bruce Sadlick. Ms. Gail Anthony is our executive director and representing the state today on certain cases with Mr. Larson. And then Ms. Cody from the Assistant Attorney General's office will be representing the board on certain cases. And we got roll call done. Let's go on to declaration of conflict of interest. I haven't received any, and I don't think Ms. Anthony has either. So with that being said, then we'll roll into the civility statement. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly. If they cannot, we will disconnect them from the line. What I'd like to do with the board's permission is take number 4A and run that all the way through P, if we could.
This is Dr. Popiel, I'll second that motion. Well, as Dr. Popiel, I'll make a motion we approve items 4A through 4T.
And let's do a formal roll on that, if we could.
Mr. Chair, this is Justin. We need a second to the motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin, are you with us?
Yeah, could you not hear me at all?
No, we could not hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Dr. Rubin. I heard everything, but.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, so that brings us into, we're on item number 5. Review, consideration, and possible action regarding the following board cases. We'll go five. We'll start with 5A, and then we'll roll 5A. We'll go all the way to E. So, with that being said, Ms. Anthony, would you like me to do the intro, take time, et cetera, and go on from there, or Ms. Cody?
I'm just letting you know that I am on the line. This is Dr. F.
Hello, Dr. F. We'll get to you in a moment.
That's fine.
This is Monique Cody. Yes, if you have a formal hearing script, I would recommend you going from the beginning with that.
Okay. So let me start with that then. The date and time today is April 14th, and you're at the Nature Testament Board meeting. It's approximately 12:06, and we're dealing with Jenna Ip, IP case number 21205, and it's scheduled to be here by our medical board. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there's been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. So I'm going to have to take roll. And Dr. Popiel.
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts.
Here.
Gallen. Elvis Gallen. Dr. Spatz.
Here.
Dr. Campbell.
Here.
And Dr. Rubin.
This is Dr. Rubin. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my headset. I am present.
Okay, good. And I'm present, Dr. Stadler. Let's move on to D, items in the record. Let the record show the board members have been furnished with copies of complaint and notice of hearing. The respondent's answer and all pleadings of record. And let's do number, we'll move on to E, which is part of D, appearances. Will the parties identify themselves first? We'll start with the state.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin Larson for the state of Arizona.
And the respondent.
This is Juliana S. for myself.
And respond, are you represented by an attorney?
No.
Okay. Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney?
Yes.
Do you understand that by proceeding without legal representation, you understand that by proceeding without legal representation, you're waiving your right to such representation at this hearing. Of course, you may seek legal counsel. Okay. Do you understand that the hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Do you understand that you should, if you should appeal the board's decision to record, you will make this record of this hearing available, and this will be also as evidence by a court in determining whether the board's decision was proper?
Yes.
Okay. Would counsel for the state verify the respondent was properly served?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, my understanding, and Gail Anthony, the board's executive director, can clarify, but my understanding is she was, the respondent was sent a copy of the complaint and notice of hearing well over 30 days prior to the hearing today.
And has the respondent responded to the complaint?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my understanding is she had responded to the initial notice of the case opening. I don't believe she has submitted any response to the complaint notice of hearing specifically.
Okay.
I have not responded in addition to my first initial response.
Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I'll make the opening statements by chairperson. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. the respondent shall present their case. After all hears the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. And at this point, I'm going to go ahead, Dr. F. L. Apps, where you in. All persons who are called a witness in this matter, and do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin. I will be calling Gail Anthony, the board's executive director, as my sole witness, so she will need to be sworn in as well.
Okay. Ms. Anthony, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay. Does the state wish to make, an opening statement?
Yes, just very briefly, Your Honor, or Mr. Chair, apologies. So this is Justin Larson on behalf of the state of Arizona. This case involves Dr. Jelena Ip, holder of license number 15-1519, which enables her to practice as a naturopathic physician in the state. I will refer to Dr. Ip hereafter as respondent. The state will present evidence today in the form of testimony from board investigator Gail Anthony, as well as multiple exhibits relating to the case. That evidence will show that in October of 2021, the board received a notice from the Maricopa County Superior Court informing it the respondent was convicted of three felony offenses. Specifically, the evidence will show that on or about October 22nd, 2021, respondent was convicted of two counts of facilitation to commit illegal administration of a narcotic drug, both class six undesignated felonies, designated felonies, and one count of illegal administration of a dangerous drug, also a class six designated felony. The evidence the state will present today will establish that respondent is guilty of unprofessional conduct pursuant to ARS section 32-1501, subsection 31C, which makes commission of a felony by a licensee of this board an act of unprofessional conduct. The state will further request that the board take appropriate disciplinary action. That concludes my opening statement, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Dr. Ip, an opening statement?
My opening statement is that on that date, I was convicted of a felony because I had to plead guilty. I was unable to further defend myself in that proceeding, and the only way to go forward was to plead guilty. The second portion of my opening statement in regards to the documents I received, the portion for related violations under UU, it's for endemic steroids. That portion, that doesn't apply to anything regarding this case, and just solely based off of the charges in regards to the felony. And I'm asking for some type of consent agreement to be issued into this portion at the end of it, and I will present my evidence for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Larson, your first witness.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the state calls Gail Anthony, the board's executive director, as witness. And Mr. Chair, members of the board, I just want to quickly, before I begin, just make sure that the board members and Dr. Ip all received copies of the exhibits which I filed in this case, and will be able to access them throughout the course of my direct examination.
I did receive it, but you guys didn't list on the exhibits the portion for my initial response, which was from the O'Dell doctor. Do you also have that?
I apologize. I didn't hear what you said. What document?
When the initial portion, when I initially responded, with an expert witness statement from a previous proceeding from Dr. Robert O'Dell. And that's not in the exhibit portion. Do you have that, or do I need to resend it? I just realized that you guys don't have that portion in the exhibit, but you did say that that the board was privy to that document. Do I have that document?
I do not have that document, Dr. Ip. I believe the board, Ms. Gaymith Anthony. Okay, the board does have that document. And has reviewed that document. I don't intend to admit it as one of my exhibits, but if you would like to admit it during your portion, you can do so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if everyone has copies of my exhibits, I'm going to proceed with my direct examination. Good afternoon, Ms. Anthony. Please state your name for the record.
Gail Anthony.
And what is your current occupation?
Executive Director of the Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board.
How long have you been Executive Director for the board?
Since 2012.
And what are your responsibilities as the Executive Director of the board?
To direct the board's processes and procedures. As part of my duties, it is my duty to investigate claims and complaints that come across my desk.
And what is it? What is conducting an investigation? Just very briefly, what does that entail?
Opening up a case, gathering the facts, writing a report, presenting it to the board for their discretion and their review.
And did you conduct an investigation in board case number 21-20205 against respondent, in this case, Jelena Ip?
Yes, I did.
And I'm going to hand you what has been previously identified in the state's exhibit list as Exhibit 1. Do you recognize that document?
I do.
What is that document?
This document is my investigative report that I submitted to the board relating to case number 21-205.
Is that a true and correct copy of the investigative report?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state would move to admit Exhibit 1 into evidence.
At this point, the chairman, you would ask if there are any objections from the respondent. And if there are no objections, then you can, on your own authority, admit evidence. You don't have to have a motion or a roll call. So you'd ask if there's any objections, and then you could admit it.
Thank you. Is there any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 1 has been noted.
Now, just really quickly, looking back at that document, the investigative report, Ms. Anthony, I just want to ask about one particular thing. There was a note in that document about the case numbers 17-077 and 17-078. Do you recognize that portion of the investigative report?
Yes.
And can you just clarify for the record whether this case separate from those cases? The case that the board is currently hearing today?
Yes, it is.
And those cases were never consolidated with this one?
That is correct. They were not consolidated.
Thank you. Now,
I actually do have an objection to, bullet point UU, okay. Prescribing and administrative
calls. Excuse me,
yes?
Respondent, this is not your time to speak. You have an opportunity to cross-examine the witness once the state is done, but this is not your time to speak.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that this wasn't the time to object to the exhibit itself. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Larson.
And also, with regard to the before I get into any more detail on that, Ms. Anthony, can you just briefly sort of give an outline of how this case came before the board and how it was investigated?
So on October 27th, 2021, the board received a notice from the state of Arizona Maricopa County Superior Court informing the board that Jelena Ipp was convicted of 3 counts of facilitation to commit illegal administration of a dangerous drug. So a case was opened and was reviewed. Information was received from the courts. My report was submitted to the board for review, and they in turn moved this to formal hearing.
Thank you, Ms. Anthony. I'm going to hand you a copy of what was designated in the state's exhibit list as Exhibit 2. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
This document is the notice I received from the Superior, Superior Court of the State of Arizona. This is informing us that Jelena Ipp had been convicted of 3 counts of facilitation to commit illegal administration of dangerous drugs.
Thank you, Ms. Anthony. At this point, I apologize. Ms. Anthony, is that a true and correct copy of the notice that the board received?
Yes.
At this point, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state moves to admit Exhibit 2 into evidence.
You would want to ask if respondent has any objections to Exhibit 2 and what the basis would be of why she would object to it being admitted.
No objection.
No objection. Exhibit 2 is noted. Go ahead, Mr. Larson.
So, Ms. Anthony, after receiving that notice, did you request or did you obtain additional documents related to the criminal case?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony, I'm handing you a series of documents which have been identified in the state's exhibit list as Exhibit 4. Do you recognize those documents?
Yes.
And what are those documents?
These documents are additional documents I received relating to the criminal case.
And are those all true and correct copies of the court documents you received related to the case?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, at this time, the state would move to admit Exhibit 4 into evidence.
Dr. Ipp, any objections?
This is not what I would ask for the portion of the exhibit that does not relate to me not to be admitted, only the portion that does relate to me. I'm just confirming that. Or is it just when I cross-examine the witness that I object to that?
You can when you cross-examine her.
Okay, then no objection.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if I may, this is Justin. I believe what Dr. Ipp is referring to is that one of the court documents is a copy of the indictment, which includes a reference to an additional defendant that was not Dr. Ipp. If it's okay with Dr. Ipp, I would be happy to amend my motion and just move to admit the exhibit with the limiting instruction that the only portions of the only relevant portions of the exhibit are those charges which are related to this case.
Thank you.
So that would be count 11 through 22-ish. Let me double check my notes. But I would 21, sorry. But yes, I would be amendable to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry, this is Monique Cody. Mr. Larson, did you refer to that as Exhibit 4 to be admitted? Isn't this Exhibit 3?
Yeah, it was Exhibit 3.
Yes, it is Exhibit 3. My apologies.
Okay, I just want to make sure the record is straight. Okay, we're all good. Thank you.
And just to verify, Mr. Chair, that exhibit was admitted with the instruction that the portions of the indictment not pertaining to the respondent or the charges related to this case are not relevant, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I'm going to hand you, Ms. Anthony, a copy of State's Exhibit number 4. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
This is the complaint notice that I sent to Dr. Ip, dated November 3rd, 2021.
Is that a true and correct copy of the notice?
Yes.
Then the state moves to admit Exhibit 4 into evidence.
No objection.
Exhibit 4 is noted.
And I am handing you, Ms. Anthony, a copy of what the state had marked in its exhibit list as Exhibit 5. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
And what is that document?
This document is the response to the notice that I sent, the complaint notice dated November 3rd, 2021, sent to Dr. Ip. This is Dr. Ip's response.
Thank you. The state moves to admit Exhibit 5 into evidence.
Dr. Ip?
No objection.
Exhibit 5 is noted.
And finally, Ms. Anthony, I'm going to hand you a copy of what has been designated as State's Exhibit 6. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
And what is that document?
This document is the complaint and notice of hearing regarding case number 21-205.
And is that a true and correct copy of the complaint and notice of hearing?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, was this the notice of this hearing today that was sent to respondent?
Yes.
And this was served to her properly via certified mail, regular mail, and electronic mail?
Yes.
The state moves to admit Exhibit 6 into evidence.
No objection.
All right.
Exhibit 6 is noted.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Anthony, I just want to go back to one more thing in Exhibit 1, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. That was the copy of the investigative report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look between that document, you see the related violations portion of the investigative report?
Yes.
And there were several violations noted in there, right?
Correct.
Now, the complaint and notice of hearing, which is Exhibit 6, that document only alleges one violation related to this case, and that is the one violation that is at issue today, correct?
That is correct.
So the other violations listed in the investigative report have not been alleged?
That is correct.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have no further questions at this time.
Dr. Ip, cross-examination.
So the related violations that were alleged, can you clarify which letter that is? B, C, U, R, S, which one?
Mr. Larson. Specify exactly what you're asking, Dr.
He just noted that the related violations in Exhibit 1, only one of them was being brought to matter in this hearing, and I'm confirming that it is letter C.
That is correct. It's C.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Do you have any questions, Dr.
No further questions for Ms. Anthony.
Okay. We'll move on to number 5. Any additional witnesses by the state of Arizona?
No additional witnesses, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The state would rest its case in chief.
Okay. Does the respondent wish to call any witnesses?
That includes myself, correct?
I'm sorry?
Does that include a statement from myself and bringing in my own exhibit? I'm saying is that this is the time to do that right now.
Ms. Cody?
Yes, this would be the time to make your statement and offer any exhibits you might have for consideration.
Okay. I previously responded with the statement from Dr. Odell in a previous case that I had been part of and given to the board, which states that based off of the guidelines for treatment of chronic pain and opiates, that I did do my due diligence in regards to that. And although that I understand that I pled guilty and there was no way of truly defending myself in this matter, and the only choice I had was to plead guilty, I'd like that to be taken into consideration. And yeah, that's my statement.
Mr. Larson, can you cross-examine on that?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I think there was, I'm just trying to understand. I think Ms. Ip had tried to admit into evidence an additional document. I don't know that I've received that document, or if the board has received that document. If the board, you know, I would like to review it before I, you know, decide whether I'd like to object. So if, you know, if there's any way, Ms. Anthony, do you have a copy of that?
I believe I have what she's talking about.
Ms. Anthony has indicated that she might have it, so she's going to hand it to me really quick. And I would ask, you know, as well, Ms. Anthony, if you wouldn't mind, if you're able to find an electronic version, if you could distribute it to the board members for their consideration.
I would also like to say one more thing, that during the time period of the case, the only people that I was brought charges on were the undercover agents, which clearly had a agenda to lie for this purpose, and all of the other patients that I serve, except for them, were not brought into question.
Are you referring, Dr. Ip, to the DEA?
Yes. The charges against me that I pled guilty to were specifically to the DEA agent, which came in and lied about their pain.
I think I have it.
And acted like they had pain towards me.
You have her read it into
So I have a heart, Dr. Ip, this is Justin. I have the state's attorney. I have a hard copy of the document that you moved to admit into evidence. I don't have, I believe the board would need to get a copy as well. If you wouldn't mind, could you send Ms. Anthony a copy of it?
I have no way of distributing it.
Sure, let me record that.
I don't have any.
What email is that? To make sure I'm doing it correctly?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's the exact email address to make sure I'm doing it correctly?
You can't distribute it to the board members.
I have to.
Gail.anthony at nd.gov or is it nd.az?
nd.az.gov.
Okay. I believe you should be getting an
answer. This is my email. I have to take this back up. Plug it in. Get it. Email it.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin. My understanding is that the full board should be receiving electronic copies of that, the exhibits, which Ms. Hip just intends to admit into evidence. If the board members wouldn't mind just confirming that they've all received it so I can state, you know, my position on it.
Board members, do you all have access to your email? If so, go ahead and open them up.
This is Clint Campbell. I did receive the email. Thank you.
This is Dr. Dan Rubin. I did receive the email. However, the document did not render.
Bruce Tablick, I got it.
Karen Tibbetts, I have the document.
Dr. Popiel, did you get it?
Dr. Popiel, yes, I have the document.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the spot I read.
Thank you.
So if the board is comfortable, I'd like to go ahead and object to admission of this document. The reason being, as I read through it, I believe this all pertains to the other case which this board had opened some time ago against Dr. If. As I elicited testimony from Ms. Anthony during her direct examination that confirming that those cases have not been consolidated with this one, and that this is a separate case which deals only with the criminal convictions. The only issue in this case is whether or not Ms. Hip was convicted of the three felony offenses the state alleges today. The matters which are discussed in this expert report really relate to something entirely different. It appears to, you know, refer to standard of care and that sort of thing. It's not even clear that this is the same substance of the criminal cases. So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would object to the admission of this document.
Then I respond to the objection.
Go ahead.
This is the same date and same patients that the criminal cases were brought against for. Specifically, those were the exact same patients, the exact same date. If those patients had never come, the criminal charges would never have been brought against. And so I want to include this as an exhibit. Although I understand that, yes, I was convicted, I'm trying to show that I'm trying to sway the decision of the board after in regards to what consent or what is going to happen at the end of this hearing. So I'm not, per se, using this to negate the fact of the conviction. I'm using this to sway the sentencing and the consent of the ending result.
Mr. Chair, members, in reply, I suppose if this is only for purposes of, you know, deciding on a, you know, what disciplinary action to take in the event the board does find a violation in this case. I suppose I wouldn't object to admitting it on that basis. But again, I would just
I would implore the board to, you know, assign it the appropriate weight and to not take it into account as to whether the convictions occurred, which is really the only violation that's at issue today.
Board members?
That's how I'm putting it, yeah.
Board members, any questions about the exhibit from Dr. Ip? Then we can note that exhibit. Are there any additional witnesses by the respondent?
No.
And does the respondent rest, i.e. are you completed, Dr. Ip?
Yeah.
Okay, so this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments from Mr. Larson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, just very briefly, the evidence now before the board in the form of Ms. Anthony's testimony and the state's exhibits 1 through 6, which were previously admitted, established that after receiving notice from the Maricopa County Superior Court, the board obtained additional court documents relating to respondent's criminal case, which showed that respondent had pled guilty to 3 felony offenses, 2 counts of facilitation to commit illegal administration of a narcotic drug, both class 6 designated felonies, and 1 count of illegal administration of a dangerous drug, also a class 6 designated felony. This evidence establishes that respondent is guilty of unprofessional conduct pursuant to ARS section 32-150131C, which makes it an act of unprofessional conduct for a naturopathic physician licensed in this state to commit a felony offense. The state requests that if the board finds the violation based on the factual and legal allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing today, that the board revoke respondent's license due to the nature of the criminal convictions. And with that, Your Honor, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state, that's the end of my closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Dr. Ip, your response?
My response is that considering that the felony did happen, my request to the board is to understand that this is specific to a certain portion of the medicine and that certain events happened that were unavoidable in regards to having people lie to the respondent. And the respondent did do in her due diligence as much as possible to prevent that. And that a stipulation or consent agreement happened on the license that no prescription of drugs can be prescribed, which is what this case, this felony, is alleging to. It is regarded towards that. And that maybe some other type of stipulation may be placed on the license for minimal practice or for overseeing practice for several years. The time period is up to discretion completely. It could be forever. Thank you. Let's go. Thank you for taking your consideration.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Doctor, if I missed your last sentence.
I was just saying thank you for your consideration. I'm finished.
Does the state wish to make a brief rebuttal?
I guess the only thing I would say, Mr. Chair, members of the board, is, again, I'll just restate my recommendation of the state recommends revocation in this case. I don't believe that there's really a consent agreement option that, you know, would really meet the nature of the violate the criminal convictions. But again, that's the board's decision. I understand that. But I think, you know, based on the evidence presented today, I think that would be the state's recommendation to revoke the license.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Larson. Board discussion. Having heard the testimony, reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. And go ahead, board. We can just begin a general discussion or entertain the motions made by both Mr. Larson and Dr. Iff. So, Dr. Rubin, let me, if you don't mind, I'll start with you, your viewpoints and opinions.
This is Dr. Rubin. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. I was just having trouble with my headset. Dr. Sadalek, or I've heard everything. I've been around, I think, since this case opened on the board. And have watched it. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was cut off at his closing statement, at his rebuttal. Could we repeat what was said since then?
Dr. Stedelick, this is Dr. Reminder. I'm happy to pause if you want to go back.
Okay. Dr. Ip, what's your question?
My phone dropped during the last word of his rebuttal to my closing statement. If we could just go back to whatever happened right after that.
Are you talking about what Mr. Larson was saying?
Yes. I heard what he said, but nothing past that.
How much did you hear what he said?
That he suggests to revoke my license.
Correct. I think that was his closing. I don't want to speak for him, but I think that was what he said.
Yeah, I'm just saying if there was something else that was said after that, I had to recall back in and reconnect.
I'll have to ask Mr. Larson.
No, Mr. Chair, members, I just restated my position that I stated in my initial closing.
Okay.
So we're on through board, we're through with that, we're on board discussion, and Dr. Rubin was speaking, so I'd like him to continue on.
This is Dr. Rubin, thank you, Dr. Sadalek. Dr. Rubin here. Yeah, what I was saying, is I was listening to everything, is that I don't have a reason to not go with the suggestions and recommendations by our Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Larson. I don't really have any more discussion on this, and I've listened very respectfully to everything that everybody has said and all the testimony, and that's my position on it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Rubin. Dr. Spatt, what's your thoughts, opinions, suggestions?
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Rubin as well. As the evidence has shown, I would agree with the recommendation by the assistant attorney, Mr. Larson, as well.
And I'll roll up on my sheet here. Dr. Campbell?
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Well, honestly, no. If the sole purpose of the hearing is whether or not there was a conviction, I think that that question answers itself.
Okay. Ms. Gallen's not with us. So, Ms. Tippett, can I go up to you?
I agree. I agree with Dr. Campbell, and I support the recommendation for revocation.
And Dr. Popiel?
I don't have anything else to add either. I would agree with the recommendations of the state at this time.
Okay. Dr. Ip, I read through this stuff, numerous times, and your ideas, I think, would have been great a long time ago. However, that is basically past tense. So I'm going to have to say I agree with Mr. Larson at this point. At this phase, we're going to probably need to do a formal type motion. Since Ms. Anthony is the witness, Ms. Cody, what would be the best format to do a motion?
I would recommend a motion to adopt the state's findings of facts and conclusions of law, so that could be in the board order. There is one minor typographical error. It doesn't have to be in the motion, but I wanted to point out that in the state's factual allegation, number 8, they list the conviction date as October 22nd, 2022. In the board's order, it will be corrected to 2021. So with that being said, before there's a motion for the discipline, I recommend a motion to adopt the state's factual allegations and violations as your finding of facts and conclusion of law.
I'll make the motion to adopt the state's factual violations of you said miscarriage of law.
Yeah, you could just say adopt the state's findings of facts and conclusions of law.
So I'll make a motion to accept the findings of facts by the state of Arizona. And then I think we'll need a roll call.
And also the conclusions of law, the findings of facts and conclusions of law.
Findings of facts and conclusions of law. And then we'll
have Mr. Dr. Popiello, second that motion.
Okay. I'm going to go through the list. Next would be Ms. Tibbetts.
Aye.
Dr. Popiello, second. Ms. Tibbetts is Dr. Campbell.
Aye.
Dr. Spatt.
Aye.
And Dr. Rubin.
Aye.
All right. There's a motion to adapt part of the, actually, we finished our final discussion, and the violation and motion by the state carry. That draws us to closure, unless, Ms. Cody, there's something else I need to add to this.
Yeah, you would, then you would need a motion, a formal motion of the board's discipline, which, for the conversation, somebody would need to move to revoke the respondent's license and then a vote on that as well. It gets a little unwieldy, but yeah, the decision, we'll see if everything will be in there.
Okay. The board members will need to have, need to make a formal motion on revocation of licensure on case number 21-205, Dr. Jenna Ip. So we need a formal motion.
Karen Tibbetts. This is Karen Tibbetts. I make a motion to revoke her license.
Okay, so we have the formal motion, and then let me do roll call if I could. Dr. Rubin,
second.
Can I start with you?
Dr. Spatt, this is Dr. Spatt. I second that motion.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Spatt. And let me do roll on that, please. So let me start down with Dr. Rubin.
This is Dr. Rubin.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
And then Dr. Sadlick, aye. Ms. Cody, I think that concludes case number 21-205. Is there any other procedural matter we need to include?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes, at the very bottom of the script, there should be a paragraph. This concludes the formal hearing.
Got it.
If you could just read paragraph for respondents' benefit.
This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and serve on parties. The parties will have further appeal rights for that to be explained in the board's order. This concludes the matter. Thank you. Thank you, board members.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Dr. F. And thank you, Mr. Larson. Let's go ahead and move on to...
I'm going to be disconnecting from the call. Anything else can be sent through email. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to need to move on to case number 5B as in boy. And this is case number 21-188, and that's Dr. Eric Hampton. And I'll go through the time and date. Today is April 14th, and the time is 12:57. And this is case number 21-188, and scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Traffic Medical Board. The subject is sent forth in the complaint hearing of notice. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there's been violation of board statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. So, for formality, I need to do roll call.
Dr. Sadler.
Hi, Diva just joined the meeting. Diva's on.
Okay. Let me know that at 12:58, Ms. Gallen has joined. So, we're doing roll call. So, you just got here at the beginning. Dr. Stadlick here. Dr. Popiel.
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts.
Here.
Ms. Gallen is here. Ms. Gallen.
Here.
You're there. Good. Dr. Spatt.
Here.
Dr. Campbell.
Here.
Dr. Rubin.
Present.
Let the record show the board members have been furnished copies of complaint and notice of hearing, the respondent's answer if one was filed, and all pleadings of record. Will the parties please identify themselves? First, we'll start with the state.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Justin Larson for the state.
Is the respondent present? Is the respondent present? He's not. Okay, we'll move on to number three. Would counsel for the state verify the respondent was properly served as the respondent responded to the complaint?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my understanding, and Gail Anthony, the board's executive director, can correct me if I'm wrong, is that a copy of the complaint notice of hearing was sent to the respondent at his address of record via certified regular mail and via email. And and it's my understanding that the respondent has not submitted a response to the complaint.
Okay. To stay ready to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Just very briefly, this case involves Dr. Eric Hampton, holder of license number 01-633, which enables him to practice as a naturopathic physician in the state. We'll refer to Dr. Hampton hereafter as respondent. The state will present evidence today in the form of testimony from the board investigator, Gail Anthony, as well as multiple exhibits relating to the case. That evidence will show that the investigation in this case, that's case number 21-188, began when the board received information from a healthcare professional indicating respondent was suffering from illness, which may make him unable to safely engage in the practice of naturopathic medicine. The evidence will show that on September 16, 2021, the board issued respondent an interim evaluation order, which required respondent to undergo a specific evaluation by a board-approved health professional in order to assist the board in determining whether respondent was fit to safely engage in the practice of naturopathic medicine. That order required respondent to schedule an appointment with the evaluator within 15 days of the order and to undergo the evaluation within 60 days of the order. The evidence will show that even after being given additional time to comply with the order, respondent never scheduled an appointment with the evaluator and therefore never underwent an evaluation as required by the order. The evidence the state will present today will establish that respondent is guilty of unprofessional conduct pursuant to ARS section 32-150131NN, which makes it an act of unprofessional conduct for a licensed naturopathic physician in the state to violate a formal order of this board. The state will further request the board take appropriate disciplinary action. And that concludes my opening statement.
And you'll be swearing in as a witness, Ms. Anthony?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So, Ms. Anthony, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you God?
Yes.
Okay. Before hearing testimony from the witness, are there any preliminary matters the board should consider? Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Oh, I apologize, Mr. Chair. I already made my opening statement.
Oh, okay, thank you. Respondent, and the respondent's not with us. Would the state please call its first witness?
Yes, the state calls Gail Anthony to testify.
Go ahead, Ms. Anthony.
All right. I have with me Ms. Anthony. Can you please state your full name for the record?
Gail Anthony.
And what is your current occupation, Ms. Anthony?
I'm the Executive Director of the Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board.
And what are your duties as the Executive Director of the board?
As part of my duties, I investigate complaints that come across my desk.
And what does investigating complaints entail?
And so I gather the information, write the report, and submit the report along with evidence to the board for their consideration.
Did you conduct an investigation in board case number 21-188 against respondent Eric Hampton?
Yes.
Can you summarize how that case came before the board?
That case originated from a voice message that was left on the office's Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board office main line from a physician at a hospital indicating that Dr. Hampton had been admitted to the psychiatric ward of that hospital.
I'm handing you what has been designated as State's Exhibit 1 in the State's Exhibit list. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
That is my investigative report regarding this case.
Is that a true and correct copy?
Yes.
The state moves to admit Exhibit 1 into evidence.
Exhibit 1 is noted.
Now, I am handing you a copy of Exhibit, what's designated Exhibit 2 in the state's exhibit list. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
That is the interim evaluation order for Dr. Eric Hampton relating to case number 21-188.
And can you briefly explain to the board what the purpose of that order was?
The purpose of this order was to have Dr. Hampton evaluated to see if he was able to safely conduct as a naturopathic physician.
And to your knowledge, did the respondent comply with the terms of that order within the time frames designated in the order?
He did not.
I'm handing you what has been pre-marked in the state's exhibit list as Exhibit 3. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
That is a notice from me to Dr. Hampton, dated November 15th, 2021, indicating that Dr. Hampton failed to comply with the interim evaluation order issued by the board. The board offered him an extension of 30 days from the date of the meeting to comply with the order, and he failed to do so.
You said he failed to comply with the order within that additional 30 days?
That is correct.
Did you receive any correspondence from him within those 30 days?
No, I did not.
And what about after
that 30 days had passed. Did you receive any correspondence from Dr. Hampton regarding whether or not he intended to comply with the order?
I believe I received an email from him at one point indicating he did not intend to comply with the order.
But this was outside the time frame in which he was given by the board to comply with the order.
That is correct.
And if I haven't already did this, I don't believe I moved to admit Exhibit 3 into evidence. The state moves to admit Exhibit 3 into evidence at this time.
Mr. Larson, is that Exhibit
2
or
3? That is Exhibit 3. I believe 2 was already admitted.
Okay, thank you. So noted Exhibit 3.
And finally, Ms. Anthony, I'm handing you what is marked in the state's exhibit list as Exhibit 4. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is that document?
That is the complaint and notice of hearing sent to Dr. Hampton relating to case number 21-188.
Is that a true and correct copy of the complaint and notice of hearing?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state moves to admit Exhibit 4 into evidence.
Exhibit 4 is noted.
And Mr. Chair, the state has no further questions for Ms. Anthony and no further witnesses or evidence, so the state would rest its case in chief.
And does the board have any questions on the exhibit or anything Mr. Larson or Ms. Anthony addressed so far? Nothing? Okay. Any additional witnesses by the state?
No, Mr. Chair.
And I believe you said the state rest at this point.
That's correct.
We don't have the respondent with us. So this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. And that would be from the state, which would be Mr. Larson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, just briefly, the evidence before the board now and in state's exhibit 1-6 and the testimony from Ms. Anthony establishes that after receiving information from a licensed healthcare professional indicating respondent may be unable to safely engage in the practice of naturopathic medicine, the board opened an investigation into respondent. And to aid in that investigation, the board issued an interim order requiring respondent to undergo a specific evaluation by a board approved health professional. Respondent refused to comply with that order and, as indicated in Ms. Anthony's testimony, affirmatively stated after the timeline and the additional time, the original timeline and the additional 30 days had already passed, that he did not intend to comply with the order. Thus, the evidence establishes respondent is guilty of unprofessional conduct pursuant to ARS Section 32-1501-31NN. Which makes it an act of unprofessional conduct for a licensed naturopathic physician in the state to violate a formal order of the board. And finally, if the board does find that respondent is guilty of unprofessional conduct, as stated in the complaint notice of hearing, the state requests the board revoke respondent's license due to the nature of the violation and the board's inability to dispel its concern for respondent's ability to safely engage in the practice of naturopathic medicine without undergoing the evaluation that was required in the interim order. And that concludes my closing statement, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Board members, let's open this up for discussion. And can I go ahead and start with you, Dr. Profil?
Oh. Sure. Yeah, I don't have any reason to not proceed forward with the state's recommendation. I would recommend we revoke the license.
Okay. And Ms. Tibbet, your thoughts?
I agree with Dr. Popio. No reason not to move forward with the recommendation.
Ms. Gallant, your opinion, thoughts?
I don't have anything yet to add at the moment.
And Dr. Campbell.
I concur that we proceed with revocation.
And Dr. Spatt?
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Lawson's recommendation as well.
Dr. Rubin.
Yeah, I see every reason to move forward with staff recommendation, with Mr. Larson's recommendation with revocation of license.
Would be happy to move as such, if you should want me to.
I think board members, we're pretty much done discussing, so Dr. Rubin has a motion. Go ahead, Dr. Rubin.
Excuse me, this is your independent advisor. Sorry, but before you make a motion to revoke, I recommend you have a motion to adopt the state's findings of facts and conclusions of law. And since everybody seems to want to revoke, you could just do one motion, a motion to adopt the state's findings of facts and conclusions of law and revoke the respondent's license.
This is Dr. Rubin. So moved. I make a motion to adopt the state's finding of fact and conclusion of law and move for revocation of license.
Dr. Popiel, I second that motion.
Seconded by Dr. Popiel. And then let me go ahead and we'll do a roll. Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
And Dr. Sadlick, aye. So, motion carries. Any other discussion? Okay. Ms. Cody, anything that we need to add?
No, you have done a fantastic job conducting these hearings. I know it's difficult for doctors and board members. You did a great job. So and hopefully I can be your independent advisor in the future should you need one.
Thank you. Appreciate your help today. Have a good afternoon. Let's go ahead and we're going to move on. And we'll find, we're still on number five, and we're going to need to move on to number five. I believe Mr. Larson is rejoining us as counsel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I was obviously the state's prosecutor in the two cases we just did. Now I will, go back to my usual position as the board's legal advisor on the remaining items on the agenda.
All right, so we go 5C, and this is case number 22-209. And this is Dr. Petit, and Ms. Anthony will give us an overview. Okay.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-209. The State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from Brandy McGee regarding her mom, KR. Ms. McGee alleges respondent recommended two books on the Gerson therapy to her mother without even seeing her mother as a patient. Ms. McGee provided a text message from her mother's cell phone dated January 22nd that included pictures of two books. A respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond. According to respondent, BM made an appointment with her on January 22nd, 2022 for a medical marijuana evaluation card. On that date, on the date of the appointment, respondent called KR to reschedule her appointment. According to respondent, KR indicated she had a headache that day and also wanted to reschedule. According to respondent, during the conversation, several side effects of chemo were discussed, and respondent mentioned to KR she may want to look into several aspects of the Gerson therapy, such as coffee enemas and the nourishing broth. KR asked respondent to text her the material since she would not be able to remember much of the conversation. Respondent did text pictures of the two books. No notes of the conversation were kept by respondent. According to respondent, she never saw KR and never established care. She did not provide medical advice. She states she does not treat patients with Gerson therapy, and it was never implied or stated that she would treat her for cancer.
Is Dr. Patrice present? Patrice present?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay. Is the complainant present? So, Dr. Patrice, can you go ahead and elaborate for us a little bit?
Okay. As Gail mentioned, the mother of who I've never met, she was referred to me, and at that time, the person who referred it to me mentioned that she was having memory issues because of chemotherapy and she wanted her medical marijuana. So when I talked to her on the phone to reschedule, almost immediately she mentioned that she is moving out of state. And I told her, well, then there's nothing we can do because this is the medical cannabis is a state program. So at that point, I had already in my head established that she wasn't going to come in and be a patient because she was moving, and she was already under care for myeloma. So, you know, she was seeing an oncologist. So she kept mentioning her chemo brain, or that she can't remember anything, and how she lost weight and she was so thin and needed to gain weight. So I don't know if she asked me or if I suggested it. All I know is Gerson has a broth that is very nourishing, and oftentimes the coffee enemas can help spare the chemo so that chemo brain can diminish a little bit. And that was it. That's what we talked about. I never told her to do it. She herself mentioned that she was into research and she liked to do her own research, and she always researched everything thoroughly before doing anything. So I told her that, you know, do your own research. Here's two books and you can read up on it. And that was it. I texted her the pictures of the books because she said she wouldn't remember it, and could you please text me the information? And then her daughter called me the next day and was very mad.
Okay.
Which I understand because, you know, her mom has cancer, which we never talked about the cancer either.
Did you happen by any chance to make any scope note or contact note or incident report?
At that time?
Yeah.
I did not, because as far as I was concerned, she was not a patient.
Okay.
And she was not going to be.
Right, right. Let me get Dr. I'm going to go through with board members' questions. So Dr. Profio, can I roll on to you?
I mean, I guess I understand, you know, the dilemma, you know, and I think there's just the generalities of, based on a brief conversation, making a recommendation like, hey, check this book out. I mean, I guess I don't feel like I have any real concerns over this with Dr. Patrice, and I don't feel like at this time I'm too concerned with this. So I don't really have any questions additionally right now.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
I don't have any concern.
Dr. Campbell?
No concerns.
Dr. Spad?
I don't have any concern, but a quick question for Dr. Patrice. So do you give a free consult?
Free consultation over the phone?
Yeah, free consultation over the phone?
No. You mean for the marijuana? Or?
No, just any medical issue.
No.
Okay, I'm just curious. Thank you.
Oh.
Dr. Rubin?
Yeah, this is Dr. Rubin. Hey, Dr. Sedlick, was the complainant on the line?
No, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I do have questions. Dr. Patrice, could you talk to me a little bit about the Gersten therapy and explain it? Interested in why you suggested that for her.
It wasn't so much the Gersten therapy. It was just those two things. The broth, the nourishing broth, because she talked about how she had lost so much weight and wanted to gain weight. That aspect and the recipes in the book. And that's what I told her. There's a recipe for a broth in the book, a nourishing broth. Because people who, when they use this, when they need to lose weight, it helps them to lose weight. When they need to gain weight, they'll gain weight using the broth.
And so how does that work? I'm confused on the physiology of that. What does that mean?
Oh, specifically, I don't know.
It's like a magic broth?
No. It's potatoes and carrots, tomatoes and slow cooked and just hardly any water, no water at all. I guess when you do the protocol, it just works.
What's the protocol? You're supposed to do juicing too.
Uh-oh.
So the broth alone doesn't work.
No, but that was just to get her the nourishment, hopefully, to eat
carbohydrates.
Something easy. Yeah, to eat something to help her get something in her body.
Why do you think that the daughter was mad at you and produced this complaint?
I don't know. I mean, I know from now on I'll never suggest anything again, but because, she's afraid. I mean, she hasn't heard of it before. According to her, it's not approved by the NIH. Oh, and she complains that, she's just afraid for her mom. Well, she was mad.
She was mad that a physician who's licensed to give medical advice gave what could be construed as medical advice to a person who wasn't her patient?
Yes.
Do you see how this could be construed? You're a licensed physician. You can't take that hat off. Do you know what chemotherapy she was on? Do you know how long she'd been treated? The severity of her myeloma? Do you understand the physiology of myeloma? Do you understand the physiology of cachexia when it comes to people with cancer being treated with chemotherapy? Do you understand the role of coffee enemas? And do you know what it does and what chemical mediators are involved in the liver and how that could correlate with the chemotherapy she was on? Do you have any idea of any of the above or any of my questions? Okay.
No.
So it was probably not a good idea for you to be sticking your head and giving medical advice to somebody who's cachectic and has potential cognitive issues, perhaps from advanced multiple myeloma, and asking them to, because you don't know how coffee enemas work.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is that you have very little experience in this area in oncology, except maybe writing MMJ recommendations, where you probably don't delve into the mechanisms of their oncology and their chemo, et cetera, because if you did, you might not have made those recommendations and you'd see why this woman, at least from my perspective, because from my perspective, that was a pretty bad recommendation.
Okay.
Do you have experience with people doing Gerson therapy and following them medically as their physician?
No.
Yeah. I have concern here, board. I don't take this one lightly because this could have been dangerous. Especially when a doctor says, here you go, check this out. I don't know what it is. I've heard about it. Do your own research. That's not a responsible thing, Dr. Patrice, especially with somebody who is potentially very ill. I don't know anything about the patient. Yeah. So you've got to be very careful.
I hear you. Yeah, I understand.
So board, my recommendations are going to be that we take some type of non-disciplinary action, but Dr. Patrice needs to understand doctor-patient relationships, and she probably needs to understand the world of oncology a little bit. There are CMEs available for both of these, but I do have concern about it because I don't know what else is lurking. I'm also concerned that she didn't understand why this could have been problematic. I'm, as a board-certified naturopathic oncology, I think hopefully I've showed you why there's potential deep concern for the person's health, and I understand why this daughter might be enraged and produce this complaint. I think it's unfortunate that she's not here joining us on the call. However, I don't think it's because she's mad because her mom had cancer. I live in this world for the last 2.5 decades. So that's where I stand.
Okay.
Dr. Sadler, so you're...
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Rubin. It it would have been nice if there would have been like even a contact notification, i.e. The patient's contacted the office and maybe just like what would be called kind of an incident report, but I understand why that wasn't done. I can see Dr. Patrice's thought process was basically being of assistance and, you know, casually being of assistance to someone that wasn't, you know, wind up being her patient. So I can see both aspects of this. And so I'm going to try to get some other board opinion on this. We've heard Dr. Rubin. Can I move down to you, Dr. Campbell, your thoughts?
Initially, and then after hearing the well-educated opinion of our colleague on the board, respective to all the potential dangers that should have been taken into consideration by a physician, those are definitely important, and so I would definitely support some continuing education, non-disciplinary in nature, just so that we can all move forward in this, having not only a lesson learned, but also moving forward with new education on how to better handle the situation if and when it ever occurs again.
Thank you. Dr. Popiel.
I definitely think Dr. Rubin provided a compelling argument as to why this should be a concern and you know, all the pitfalls that could come from making this recommendation. So, you know, I certainly would say that based on that and Dr. Patrice's responses to his question, I think definitely some additional CMEs, non-disciplinary, would be appropriate.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
I agree.
Ms. Gallen, where are you with this all?
Yeah, I agree too, and I appreciate some of the questions that were just asked because it's, I'm agreeing with that.
And Dr. Spitz, what's your thought?
I don't have any comment.
Okay. And the only comment I had, and I'll just reiterate, was unfortunately, I see it as somebody who probably just made a casual contact and then someone who basically was trying to assist, and unfortunately, they caught up in a difficult situation. So let me roll back down to you, Dr. Rubin. It sounds like you had a motion you'd like to make.
This is Dr. Rubin. And Dr. Sarawak, to your comment, I understand we as physicians, and especially as naturopathic physicians, by nature, if you will, are here to help and assist. But part of helping and assisting is understanding what we do and don't know. And we're here, and one of our first oaths was, you know, of all physicians, is to do no harm. And in this case, I can see, because I have vast experience in this, and I have for a long time, where there could be potential harm. Especially with the comment saying that, oh, coffee enemas can help move the chemotherapy out more. Like, that is an absolute inexperienced physician talking. And if this person was on doxorubicin, that would actually reduce the activity of the chemotherapy, and that's well documented in the literature. So I have concerns. And for the rest of board members, that's where this comment is coming from. So I didn't start in 2004 and spend hundreds of hours starting the oncology board certification program, which is recognized by the nationally by the ENP and by the state board, and we now have board-certified naturopathic oncologists able to refer to themselves as specialists for nothing. That's why we did it, is to protect the consumer. And so physicians need to understand that, and they need to understand where they are professionally. And so because of that, I would like to make a motion for a non-disciplinary consent agreement with, to be determined by staff for 8 hours of continuing education for in the area of integrative oncology and doctor-patient relationship.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin. You actually, you know, just for the record, Mr. Rubin, it doesn't have to be, or Dr. Rubin, I apologize, it doesn't have to be a consent agreement. The board can just issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education on its own volition. So, you know, it doesn't have to be consented to necessarily. You can just vote to or move to issue an order.
This is Dr. Rubin, still amended to my motion.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Rubin, can you clarify a little bit for my sake and my notes? Are you saying 8 hours of both the oncology, integrative oncology, and 8 hours of patient care, or are you saying 4 and 4?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dr. Rubin, you just cut out. I'm not sure if you're speaking right now, but we can't hear you.
Dr. Rubin, are you there? Hello? I think we may have lost him.
This is Ruben. I lost my phone. I'm sorry.
So what my question was, are you looking for 4 hours of integrative oncology along with 4 hours of patient care, or how would you like to divide that? Or do you
This is Dr. Ruben. Thank you, Dr. Stahl. Like, I do care. I'm looking to amend my motion. I would like to add that the 8 hours specifically be 2 hours in doctor patient relationship and 6 hours in integrative oncology, and that's an addition that requires 30 hours of capacity.
Okay, so you're saying basically 8 hours in addition to her 30.
Yes.
Okay.
And Dr. Rubin, members of the board, did you want that done within a specific time frame or just prior to the renewal period for next year?
This is Dr. Rubin. I'm fine by the end of calendar year 2022.
Okay. And Dr. Rubin, do you have a source for the integrative oncology?
Yes. This is Dr. Rubin. The Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians offers their annual seminar, which is, I believe, in June, and it is virtual. Which can be attained there. Also, Society for Integrative Oncology will actually be on site in Scottsdale, Arizona, and this is October 20th through 22nd. And those are Category 1 CMEs. Both of those would be excellent sources for sort of non-self-directed teaching. If somebody really wants to dig in and immerse themselves in the integrative oncology world, if they want to continue working in the oncology world. I mean, the naturopathic physicians offer this, and it's very integrative. So I recommend either.
So Dr. Rubin made the motion.
Or we make a motion.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Patrice, what exactly, what's your specialty regarding as a naturopath at the moment? Do you have any field or focus that you're doing at the moment?
No, I don't. I'm even thinking of retiring.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion. So let's do, I have a Ms. Anthony can do roll call.
We need a second, please.
This is Dr. Popiel, I second the motion.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
I'll agree with the motion. I'd just like to add one last comment to it is, I'm sorry that you got caught up in this, but I do agree with perhaps just a tad of education that Dr. Rubin recommended, you know, may be helpful. So I say aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Let's move on to case number 22-213. And is Dr. McHenry here? Dr. McHenry, are you on the phone? We don't have Dr. McHenry. So, Ms. Anthony, go ahead and give us the overview.
Okay. Dr. Sadlik, members of the board, this is board case 22-213. On February 18th, 2022, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between June 1st, 2021 and December 31st, 2021, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 37 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database 5 times. In his response to the board dated March 22, 2022, respondent admitted that during that time period, he had not performed the CSPMP audits as required. By his own admission, respondent certified patients for medical marijuana without reviewing the CSPMP report prior to issuing the medical marijuana certifications. Additionally, he signed the certificate attesting he did review the CSPMP and failed to keep a copy of the required CSPMP report in the patient record. In keeping with the board outcome to similar cases, board staff recommends issuance of a letter of concern to address respondents' compliance with keeping adequate medical records and issuing a non-disciplinary order for 8 hours of continuing medical education in the area of medical charting.
Dr. Rubin, let me start down with you. Any questions or comments?
No, this is Dr. Rubin. I move to accept board recommendations.
And Dr. Spatt?
I'm sorry, I missed the recommendation. What was the recommendation?
Issuance of a letter of letter of concern to address respondents' compliance with keeping adequate medical records and a non-disciplinary order for 8 hours of continuing medical education in the area of medical charting.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't have any questions at the moment.
Okay. Dr. Rubin, I believe you said you agreed with board staff. Dr. Spatt, do you agree with board staff on recommendation?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a general feel. Let me ask next, Dr. Campbell.
I concur with the staff.
Ms. Gallen?
I agree too.
Okay. Ms. Tippett?
I agree.
Dr. Popiel?
I agree as well with the board staff recommendation.
Does anyone want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin. I might have misheard, but I thought Dr. Rubin already made the motion.
This is Dr. Rubin, I did.
You did?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rubin. I'll go ahead and second Dr. Rubin's motion. And then we'll need the roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadlik?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, we'll go, we'll roll through this next case, which is 22-212, and then we'll take a 5-minute break. So we'll go on 5E, case number 22-212, and Dr. Salvador, I believe. and Ms. Anthony will give us an overview.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-212. On February 18th, 2022, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between June 1st, 2021 and December 31st, 2021, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 114 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database 63 times. In her response to the board dated March 22, 2022, respondent admitted that during that time period, she had not performed the CSPMP audits as required. By her own admission, respondent certified patients for medical marijuana without reviewing the CSPMP report prior to issuing the medical marijuana certification. Additionally, she signed the certificate attesting she did review the CSPMP, and she failed to keep a copy of the required CSPMP report in the patient record. In keeping with board outcomes to similar cases, board staff recommends issuance of a letter of concern to address respondents' compliance with keeping adequate medical records, and issuance of a non-disciplinary order for 8 hours of continuing medical education in the area of medical charting.
Dr. Silverzell, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
And you give us a rundown on this?
Yes, I do admit I had the discrepancy is because I had missed those days of pulling. I understand I am to do it. That's why there's a discrepancy in the numbers. I do apologize. That's why I'm here saying yes, that was an oversight. I understand it is to be done. And, I was filling it at a different clinic for a colleague and was out of my element, where I'm used to a totally different system. So they got missed those for that week I was covering a colleague. But other than that, everything that was said by Gail Anthony is true. And that was my response. I am sorry that those ones got missed. I have corrected it and will be continuing to be diligent about that in the future. So that is what happened.
Okay. Dr. Rubin, can I start down with you for questions, ideas, options? Maybe I don't have Dr. Rubin. So Dr. Spatt, let me roll to you.
I have a question for Dr. Says. How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry. Sawedo?
That's okay. Yeah, that was pretty close. Paul Sawedo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so thank you for being honest, but I don't have any question for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Campbell?
No questions, thank you.
Ms. Gallon?
Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Ms. Tippett?
No questions.
Dr. Popiel?
I have nothing to add at this point.
Okay. Dr. Rubin, are you back?
I am. Sorry about the phone trouble. This is Dr. Rubin. I have nothing to add.
Does anyone like to make a motion?
This is Dr. Rubin. I move to accept board recommendation.
I'll second that motion. And then we'll need a formal roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. That carries us through five. Good job at that. And it is 1:46. Let's go ahead and take a anyone need a five minute, or do people want a 10 minute break recess? You're fine with five? Is that reset, Dr. Spatz?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1:47 will reconvene we'll go 1:55. Thanks.